thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever.
Amen. Our opening hymn is taken out of the blue hymnal, page 492. Rich is going to play through the first verse of that, so you kind of, those of you who don't know it can kind of get familiar with it. But at Calvary. Seated. Father, we thank you for the cross. We thank you, Jesus, that you died for us, that you bore the penalty for our sins, that you made a way to intimacy with the Father. Thank you, Jesus, for your love. Thank you, Jesus, for your forgiveness. Thank you. Thank you, Father, for sending your Son. We thank you, Jesus, for the cross. Lord, we pray for mercy for those that have lost everything in the storms over the last 2 days. Throughout Nebraska, Iowa, last night, Oklahoma. Lord, I pray for my family in Holdenville. Jesus, I pray your mercy and your help. Thank you for your word that you are an ever-present help in time of trouble. And Lord Jesus, I pray for those that have lost their lives. I pray comfort over their families. Lord, those that have lost their homes and livelihoods, I just ask for your mercy, Jesus, your comfort, your provision, in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, as the storms roll through tonight, they're saying they're not going to be as bad and all of that, and Lord, we just ask for mercy in the storms tonight. And God, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, we ask you for mercy. Mercy, God. We pray, Father, for Abby's family, for Colby, for John, for Edith. Lord, your continued mercy upon them. We thank you, Lord, for how family and friends have just surrounded them. Lord, we thank you for those that have helped in their home, God, we pray for Colby. The doctors can't do any more with her feet. God, we ask your healing. We pray, Lord, she'd be able to walk again, walk without pain. And she needs a touch from you. Thank you for what you've done. And we ask for continued healing on Colby, continued healing upon John. Lord, your peace to be upon Eden as she can't verbally communicate. And God, thank you again for what you've done. And we ask for your help and your mercy upon Abby's family in Jesus' name. We pray, Father, for baby Lincoln, 4 months old, RSV probably, and just ER last night. God, we pray your touch on baby Lincoln, strength on those lungs in Jesus' name. Lord, bless him. Pray peace, God, on Curry and Alex. Lord, have mercy. We pray, Father, for every need on our prayer list, those that need healing. Lord, we ask for healing. Those that need deliverance, God, we ask for deliverance from depression, from drug and alcohol addictions. Peace in Jesus' name. Healing in Jesus' name. Comfort in Jesus' name. Your word says that where great sin abounds, much greater grace abounds. Lord, we ask for your mercy and peace upon our country. We pray, Lord, for a turning to you. Your word is very clear that judgment begins in the house of God. And Lord, you're clean in your house. And Lord, I pray that we would be a humble people. We would bow the knee, that we would yield before you. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy. Father, we pray because your word tells us to. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We thank you, God, for the promises in your word that there will be a great turning of the Jews before you return. And God, we pray for open eyes. We pray protection over the innocent ones in Israel and Gaza. Lord, have mercy. Have mercy. Wisdom, Lord, for the world leaders as they deal with the situation. There would be men and women, Lord, who love you, who serve you, that have a holy awe of you. Have mercy. Love you, Jesus. We thank you again for your mercy. And we pray the prayer, Jesus, that you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Father, we thank you for these tithes and these gifts and these offerings. We offer it up to you as worship unto you. We pray that you'd bless the offerings, Lord. You'd bless the givers. Lord, I'm remembering Bevan Stein. Lord, he's going home to Slovakia. It is home. He's a missionary, but he's going home, going back to Slovakia this week. And Lord, we pray provision and protection over Bevan. We thank you, God, for the Walden family. And Lord, we just thank you. May these offerings, Lord, may you bless it for the furtherance of your kingdom. And we thank you for these missionaries that are spreading the gospel. Lord, we bless them and we bless you. And we thank you for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and let's sing the Gloria Patri. speaking to us, and he wanted to just encourage you all in that passage of Scripture, is that all of us have family, friends that we've been praying for, and we just think, oh God, are they ever going to come to know you? They're just the hardest of hearts, and we just think, man, I don't know about this person. And the conversion of Saul is just an exhortation to all of us that God can get the hardest of hearts. One of the things that I wanted to do today was, I'm looking for just the right video. You don't have, if you go home and Google Muslims coming to the Lord, there are hundreds, maybe thousands, maybe even more than that, of testimonies of people in Iraq, in Iran, in the most closed, hostile to Christianity places in the world. Holy Spirit is giving Muslims dreams. And they're dreaming about Jesus. They're dreaming about a man in white coming to them. And they're encountering Jesus in their dreams. He's speaking to them. And thousands, perhaps even more than that, of Muslims are turning to Jesus. And I've seen several videos of that. And you have to be careful on, you know, with videos, because is it real? Is it legit? And I'm trying to track one down from that I know is a legitimate source. But I've heard it from missionaries that have been in these closed countries. And it's just such an encouragement of God getting the hardest of hearts, getting the people that are most hostile to him. And what I felt like the Lord was wanting to do, one of the things he was wanting to do 2 weeks ago, was just to encourage you to keep praying for your loved ones. Keep praying for your family. Keep praying for friends. Because Paul writes later in the letter to Corinth that God, the God of this age, has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the glory of Christ. And one thing that we need to be praying for these people that we're concerned about, is God, unveil their eyes, unveil their minds. And God did that to Saul. And I want to continue on in Acts chapter 9 this morning. I've been debating, do I read the chapter, do I not? And I think I am. I'm going to read most of Acts chapter 9. And then I want to look at how did God transform him? It was miraculous in his conversion. And we looked at that last week. But then what are things that actually transformed in Saul's life? And what does that practically mean for us this morning? We're going to look at that. Just a heads up on what we're going to do in the days and the weeks ahead. Doing Acts 9 today. Next Sunday, as I'm sure with all of you, what's going on in the world, what's going on in our nation, and I've been listening to a podcast by my friend DJ. He's a professor at Northern Seminary, and I audited a class of his during the winter, and he is going through the Lord's Prayer, and I've just been so encouraged with some of the insights that I've just been reminded of. And next Sunday, we're going to take a little bit of a turn, and I just want to exhort you out of the Lord's Prayer. Just some things that the Lord's been speaking to me personally, some things that I think, you know, you look at the state of the world, we're like, how do you pray? Well, Jesus taught us to pray, and I think we pray that rotely, but we don't really think about the magnitude of what we're praying. And I've preached, I think it was 2 years ago, several sermons on the Lord's Prayer, but I'm just going to do a broad swath. Because I feel like the Lord wants me to, number one. And also, number two, the Sunday after that is Mother's Day. And the next section in Acts, there's a woman called Dorcas. And to us in English, that name is a horrible name. But that woman is a beautiful woman. And I don't, those of you that know me, and I don't preach Mother's Day sermons. I'll give a nod to Mother's Day. We'll pray for mothers, want to honor mothers. But I don't specifically hunt for a Mother's Day sermon. When the text kind of aligns with Mother's Day, I want to do that. So next Sunday, we're going to do the Lord's Prayer, and then the Sunday after that, Mother's Day, we are going to look, going to continue on the end of Acts chapter 9 and look at a beautiful woman named Dorcas. But this morning, we're with Saul. What transformed in Saul's life? Let's look in Acts chapter 9, beginning in verse 1. But Saul, still breathing threats it to the high priest and ask him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although, it's okay, the door just opened from the wind, we're okay. The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias." And he said, "Here I am, Lord." And the Lord said to him, "Rise and go to the street called Straight. And at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay hands on him, so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done at your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he's a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias departed and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened. For some days, with the disciples at Damascus. Verse 20. And immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogues, saying, "He is the Son of God." And all who heard him were amazed and said, "Is not this the man who made havoc in Jerusalem of those who called upon this name? And has he not come here for this purpose, to bring them bound before the chief priests?" But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ. When many days had passed, the Jews plotted to kill him, but their plot became known to Saul. They were watching the gates day and night in order to kill him, but his disciples took him by night and let him down through an opening in the wall, lowering him in a basket. And when he had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples, and they were all afraid of him, for they did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how on the road he had seen the Lord who spoke to him, and how at Damascus he had preached boldly in the name of Jesus. So he went in and out among them at Jerusalem, preaching boldly in the name of the Lord, and he spoke and disputed against the Hellenists, but they were seeking to kill him. And when the brothers learned this, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. It multiplied. Father, this is your word. Pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come, that you would anoint your word, that you would teach us, you would encounter us in it. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer, give me the words to say that I would fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. Courage, boldness, no intimidation, power, love, and sound mind. In Jesus' name. I lift up to you my thoughts. I lift up to you, Lord, what I think I'm going to say. And Lord, I pray that I would say what you want me to say. I offer it all up to you, Lord, as worship unto you. May we have eyes to see. May we have ears to hear what your Spirit is saying to your church. In Jesus' name, amen. How was Saul transformed? He has this encounter, but there are three things specifically I want us to meditate on and think about in how he was transformed. The first thing was his whole view of Jesus was dramatically transformed. He hated Jesus. He hated Christians. He was on his way to Damascus to bind them, to send them, and kill them because he hated them. And you look back through the Gospels. I'm not going to go through all of those scriptures today. Matthew chapter 26, there it says that the Pharisees specifically, which Saul was a Pharisee, wanted to kill Jesus. But I just want to remind you of how strong that sentiment was. In John chapter 10, beginning in verse 31. Jesus is teaching them, and he's telling them that I'm the door. I am the way. No one can come to the Father except through me. And the Jews don't like that. Let's pick up at verse 24, John chapter 10, verse 24. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not part of my flock." And for the Pharisees, that would have made them mad because they thought, hey, we are the law followers. We are part of, we are the chosen people. And so Jesus' words even there, like their hackles are going to go up. They're like, they just, in their mind, it's like, that is not true. But Jesus is going after their hearts. Verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." And Jesus right there is saying, I am God. I am God. And for the Pharisees, that's blasphemy, blaspheming. And they just, they don't like it. And look at what they want to do. Verse 31 of John chapter 10. The Jews pick up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered, "I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you going to stone me?" The Jews answered him, "It is not for a good work that we are going to stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God." And ultimately, you know the story. They handed Jesus over to be crucified, and that whole sentiment against the Pharisees and the chief priests was growing. It's really beautiful when you read Acts chapter 2, because when the Holy Spirit is poured out and Peter preaches, there were thousands that were added. And it keeps saying that the chief priests, that there were Pharisees coming to know the Lord. But Saul was not one of them at that point. And he hated Jesus. He was a blasphemer, and he wanted to stamp him out. And yet, when he encounters Jesus, he encounters him. Ananias, God calls him to go and pray for Saul. And we're going to talk a little bit more about this, but you all, we need other people. And may we in the body of Christ, when God tells us to be obedient, when God is working on people that we hate, that we don't like, and they come to Christ, he needed Ananias to go to him and pray for him. Ananias at first didn't want to do that, but he's obedient. And Ananias goes, prays for him. And it's through Ananias that Saul is filled with the Holy Spirit. And may we be that kind of people, that we love people and we're obedient when God tells us, because Saul needed fellowship. We're going to talk about that more. But he needed other people. And he's filled with the Spirit. But then, in our text this morning, beginning in Acts chapter 9, we get back there, his whole view of Jesus is amazing. synagogues saying, he is the Son of God. A complete 180. Where he thought Jesus was a blasphemer, no, he's encountered him and he is the Son of God. His eyes were open. There had been a spiritual blindness and his whole view of Jesus has changed. And that's what it means to be born again. That's what it means, is that we're dead, but we need, Holy Spirit opens our eyes and we become alive. And we see him for who he really is. That he's not just a fairy tale. That he's not just a prophet. That he's not just a good man. But he really is the Son of God. He really is God in the flesh. And immediately he began to proclaim it. I love that. Because is he wavering? Is he afraid? No, his encounter was so real that he's completely changed. His whole worldview has changed. His whole view of Jesus has changed. And I love reading about and watching these videos of men and women that used to hate Jesus. And now they're coming to Jesus. You all, only the Spirit of God can do that. They were dead in their trespasses and sins, but they're made alive, and they see Jesus for who he really is. God did that with Saul. He did that with me, and he's done that with some of you if you believe in him. He's made you alive, and you know that Jesus is alive, and you know that he's the Son of God, and his whole view of Jesus is different. He believes that he's the Son of God, and he's not cowardly about it. He's out being bold about it, telling other people about it. And I love this too, that Saul isn't political about it. Some of us maybe want to be a Christian, but we also want people to think, we want to be dignified. And we're concerned about how it is going to appear. You don't want to appear too radical. You want to kind of, you know, you want to look good. You don't want to appear foolish. And Saul doesn't care anymore. He doesn't care. He's encountered Jesus alive, and he's not intimidated. Oh, what are other people going to think about me? What are the Pharisees going to think about me? I might get in trouble about this. This person's going to think this. This person's going to think this. He is not concerned about that. He's only concerned about Jesus and telling people what he has seen, telling people what he has heard. There's no longer any intimidation. He's telling people about Jesus. His whole worldview, his whole view of Jesus is changed. It's different. That's number one. And what else has changed about Saul's life? What he's preaching. He's changed his mind. He's changed his speech. Where before he was just consumed with hatred, before he was consumed, it was his job, and he was like, I'm going to go after these Christians. They're wrong, and I'm going to get them. And now he's completely changed, and he's preaching now about what he was against. It's completely changed. His whole behavior has changed. Our epistle lesson this morning, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Paul writes many years later, and he says that we are a new creation. When we are born again, we are a new creation. The old is gone, and the new is come. We were dead in sin. We were following the ways of the world. But when we come to Christ, there's something different about us in our hearts, and our behavior changes. And I want to read to you, Paul writes about this. 2 Corinthians. I read 2 Corinthians 5:17, but I want to read that in context with what comes before it and what comes after it. 2 Corinthians 5, beginning in verse 16. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All of this is from God, who through Christ Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. If the church was just concerned about the ministry of reconciliation, God wants to reconcile people to himself, and he wants to do it through us. We are his ambassadors. We are his ambassadors of peace. We are his ambassadors of love. One of the reasons why I want to preach on the Lord's Prayer next week is because I feel like as a church, largely in the United States, we've lost what it means to be the church. We've made it about a building. We've made it about so many other things. But the ecclesia, the church, the gathering of the saints, is to be a place of equipping so that we can spread the kingdom. The kingdom of God. Not our own little kingdom. Not our little denominational kingdom. But the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God, in short, is the rule and reign of Jesus. And we are to be his ambassadors. And Paul's life is forever changed. He now is an ambassador of Jesus. He doesn't hate Christians anymore. He wants to bring people to Christ. He is filled with the Spirit. He is now filled with love instead of hate. Now he's bringing people. He's bringing people in by his life, by his witness. And his behavior is completely changed. And later on, he writes this about this new life, this transformation in Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. As such were some of you. Some of you, he's saying, used to live that way. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. When we're born again and we encounter Jesus, we used to sin. We used to have a livelihood of sin. That's all we thought about. That's all we did. But now through Christ, we're made new. We don't have to live that way anymore. We are free not to sin. And he begins a work in us of purifying us, of making us a holy people, set apart to him. And it should, knowing Jesus, it's transformation. Some of us can remember, and it's dramatic, when we became a Christian, when we believed in Jesus. August 8th, 1986. Dramatic for me. I encountered Jesus. Completely changed. Insecure, fearful, met Jesus, filled with joy, filled with absolute joy. Hated the Word of God. I wouldn't say I hated it. It was just, I didn't like it. I found it completely boring, irrelevant. But when I met Jesus, there was an immediate hunger for the Word of God. I couldn't wait to go to church. I couldn't wait to read the Bible. I loved it. It was this insatiable thing for me. Some of us have a testimony like that. You can name the day, name the time even. For some people, it's more gradual. And you don't remember a time where it was like dramatic like that, but you just know, well, you know what? I can't remember a day or time, but I know now that I do trust Jesus. I do know now that I'm hungry for the word. I didn't used to, but now I do. And it's been a gradual, it's kind of stuck up on you a little bit. Holy Spirit stuck up on you, and it's gradual. But for all of us, we can look back and be like, wow, I was a sinner. I was a liar. I was this, I was that. But, you know, some of us have dramatic, some of us, you know, not so dramatic, but all of us were dead in sin. All of us were rebels. All of us were. And when we come to Jesus, we're made new. And there's a transformation, and we're born again. Something in us is the Spirit of God that we begin to hunger for Jesus. We can't wait to be in the fellowship with believers. We love to read the Word. And there's something about, it was different because His whole vocation has changed. His behavior has changed. And the third thing that changes about Saul is his associations. Paul was a Pharisee, and he hung around with people that hated Christians. And now that he's a Christian, what's he doing? He's hanging around with other Christians. He had to change his associations. And when we become a Christian, we need to probably change who we're hanging out with. Because if you hang out with the foolish, you hang out with the rebels, you hang out with that, that's going to rub off on you. And we need to change the people that we associate with. I'm not saying that we don't need to witness. I'm not saying that we're not salt and light. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying the people that we let into our inner circle. An extreme example of that is people that are trying to get free from drugs, alcoholics. They have to quit associating with drug addicts and alcoholics if they want to get free. AA, what is that about? It's about getting with other people who want to be sober. It's about getting out of the crowd that they're in so that they can be with other people who want to get better. And as a church, we come together, and God has made us a family. And in some ways that's good, in some ways that's really hard. Because people that belong to Jesus may be some people that we don't like very much. There might be some people that really get on our nerves. There might be some people that are racially ethnic that we've had a problem with. And he wants to reconcile, because we are all part of the family of God. Paul writes later, in Christ, there is no Jew, there is no Greek, there is no male, there is no female, there is no slave, there is no free, that we're all one in him. One isn't better than another, that we're one in him. God has called us to fellowship not only with him, but with one another, and we have to change our associations. We're part of something bigger. When Paul became, and I'm using his name interchangeably, Saul, Paul, when he encountered Jesus, his whole view of Jesus changed. It transformed not only his view of Jesus, it transformed the way he lived his life, and it transformed the people that he hung out with. And he goes to Jerusalem, and he had a reputation. And the people in Jerusalem thought, oh, he's trying to infiltrate us. And they were afraid. Very valid fear. And yet, he needed a friend. Much like he needed Ananias when he first became a Christian. He needed Ananias to be obedient and break through the fear to come pray for him. He needed Barnabas. Barnabas' name means son of encouragement. We met him earlier in Acts. I think it's Acts chapter 4. And he sold a plot of land, and he gave all the money to the apostles. And he had been encouraging that new community of believers through his generosity. And now everybody else in Jerusalem is afraid, but Barnabas comes alongside him. And it vouches for him to the church in Jerusalem. And we need to be really careful. I had this issue when my brother was in recovery from alcohol and drugs years ago. And one of the things the counselor talked to us a lot about is you can't treat him, your brother, the way you used to. You have views about him. There are things that he did. But now he's new, and you need to treat him as new. And that was a huge mind shift for me. That was really hard. That was really hard because he had hurt me. He had stolen a lot of things from me. And I had to really pray a lot about my attitude. And as people come to Christ, they have a history. They have a history. And we need to treat them as new in Christ. We need to treat them as, and we need to pray for eyes to see them as Jesus sees them. Because they're new. If they believe in him, they are new. Has Jesus transformed your life? Have you opened up your heart to him and given your heart to him? He wants He's with you. Some of us have mindsets about God through our experiences, maybe through our earthly fathers, through our families. We have been maybe emotionally, verbally, you know, other kinds of abuses in our lives, and the enemy has come in and told us lies about ourselves, and we don't think that we're worthy. We don't think that we're good. We don't think, there's a lot of shame. We carry a lot of shame, and we have to let the scriptures renew our minds. And instead of the lies that we believe about ourselves, you fill in the blank. I'm this, I'm that, I'm this, I'm that. Say, Lord, what do you say about me? When you see me, what is it you see? And ask him what he says. You know what he may tell you? You're beautiful. I love you. I've clothed you with love. I've clothed you with compassion. And we need to really know who we are in him. And as we get to know him and we yield our heart to him, he will transform us. He will change us. You look at that list, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, that list. Paul says, that's what some of you were, but you're not anymore, because you're washed and you're made new. Do you know who you are in him? Do you know that you are loved? Do you know that you are forgiven? I don't care what you have done. Jesus can wash you clean. He did that with Saul, and he can do that with you as we yield and as we walk with him. I love how this section ends. And if we ever needed this, we need this today. Acts chapter 9. The end of verse 31. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Spirit, the church multiplied. May we walk again in the fear of the Lord. And may we walk again in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. As we yield to him, as we are filled with him, as we are filled with his glory, that is a witness to everybody around us. And may we be that kind of church and that kind of people. Father, we thank you that for the conversion of Saul. And as he encountered you, Jesus, there was a complete change in how he saw you and what he believed about you. Lord, I thank you for those that we are praying for, the hardest of hearts. Lord, if you can capture Saul's heart and you can change his view of Jesus, you can do that with the people that we're praying for. Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, we thank you that you completely changed Saul's behavior. And where he hated you, he loved you. And immediately he began witnessing and saying that Jesus is the Son of God. Lord, where we are intimidated, I pray that you would give us courage. Fill us with your Spirit once again to be your witnesses in this world. Father, we thank you for the power of your Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for being born again. We thank you, God, for what you can do, for what you can do in our hearts and our minds and our lives. Lord, you also changed Saul's associations. And Lord, I pray that we would walk with wise people, that we would walk, Lord, with people that know you, that love you. And Lord, help us in our relationships to walk with wise people. And Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that the Church of Jesus Christ here, DeCoin Methodist Church, that we would be a people who walk in the fear of the Lord and who walk in the comfort of your Holy Spirit. I pray, Father, that we would be your ambassadors in this world where there's so much hatred, where there is so much fear, where there is so much animosity, God, that we would be bold, that we would be bold as Saul was bold, and how his heart was once filled with hatred, Lord, he was now filled with love. Lord, as Saul, Ananias didn't want to. You had to really nudge him. But he went and he laid his hands on Saul. Lord, I pray that we would be obedient to your nudges, Spirit of God, when you tell us to get out of our comfort zone, when you tell us to go pray for people that might be like, that feels a little bit odd, Lord. Are you sure? Lord, I pray we would be obedient to your nudges in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray that we would be a church full of Barnabases, sons and daughters of encouragement, that as people come into the fold, Lord, that we wouldn't just see who they've been, but we would see who they are, who you have called them to be, holy and dearly loved, set apart. Help us to see beyond the surface and into the heart of who you called people to be. We thank you, Jesus, for the power of the gospel. We thank you, Lord, for the power of your Holy Spirit. We thank you, God, for the power of transformation. I pray, Lord, we would yield to you, that we would say yes to you. If we haven't encountered you, Lord, may we say yes. If we have encountered you, Lord, I pray we would yield more and more and more and more to you. Fill us with your Spirit. Make us hungry for more of you. Open our eyes, God. We thank you, and we love you, and we thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Love to tell the story. Saul could not stop telling other people about Jesus. And once you've seen him, and once you've encountered him, you have a story to tell. And may we love to tell the story. Let's stand and sing this hymn. I love to tell the story. Decision and you want to today, we'd be honored to pray with you. Also, if you do know Jesus, but it feels like when you're, you know, like when you're driving and it's raining really hard and you can't see and your windshield wipers are trying to get all this, the rain and everything off, if you just feel like